Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Monday. Oh my goodness. Inauguration Day, MLK Day, Jesus Day. Oh my goodness. This is your day. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you today is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Give a shout out to Joanne in NYC and Regina in Houston and Nicole in Virginia and Marjane in Florida and Steve in Pittsburgh and Sharon in Denver on the Frontier Line. We're going to be talking about the power of God today, the power of God. And so much more. A humorous moment on today's program is going to be the constitutional test. We're working our way through that as we enjoy Pat and John taking the plunge. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this inaugural day, this MLK Day, this Jesus Day, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
My goodness, here we are. It is Monday. Monday. What a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish we wouldn't have picked up the reason why we got it. Call it Monday, but just move beyond that. And just realize, you know, every day is Jesus' day, you know. Today is that America is celebrating, you know, Inauguration Day, the day that we, although it's the 20th in the Constitution, because it was on Sunday, they moved it to Monday today. And in Washington, D.C., we're watching them live right this moment. They're all walking through the mall area and all the different places. The president's coming out right now with all of his family and all the Secret Service and all the those leaders out there. Today's the day that he is going to publicly, you know, give an inaugural speech and accept the presidency before the people, before all of America. And we are thankful to God for America and everything that he has blessed us with. To me, it's just amazing that how today it's MLK Day. Mm-hmm. And yeah. How, and of course, they delayed it one day. They also, MLK Day anyway, I believe is on the 20th as well.
Yeah, I think it's delayed too.
Yeah, and so that just how significant that is to American history. Mm-hmm. That on MLK Day, that, and as we read the pledge, you know, the MLK, if you want to walk with Dr. Martin Luther, MLK stands for Dr. Martin Luther King for this generation. Yes. Sorry about
Thank
that.
For this generation.
We have to really help you out with that. And I know we just, that's us old folks, no. It's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's the one that marched for civil rights in America. And you can go. There actually is a website set up called mlkday.gov. And you can find out a lot of things about Dr. King and what took place. And some congressmen today actually walked with Dr. King then. But you had to have a pledge, sign a pledge card to be able to walk with him. We talked about it on a previous program. And you can find that on the VFN Torch by going to vfntv.com and clicking on the Torch. But one of them was you had to do acts of service. You know, if you want to march with me, he said, if you want to walk, march these streets, you got to do acts of service. And how appropriate is to celebrate MLK Day with acts of service. And I know the president went out and was helping renew a school and painting bookshelves and those type of things. And, of course, I think it's a great way to remember, you know, Dr. King and what he did and what he gave his life for. And as a church, you know, as Christians, every day is also a work day for us. So it's a perfect day for us to get out and get amongst the people and serve and remember Dr. King and be light in the midst of whatever is going on in your communities. And also, we just want to say, you know, we're excited about talking about MLK Day. And the more we talk about Dr. King, the more we get pumped up about what a man he was, you know, what an apostle, a Christian. A man of integrity, a man willing to face. He was a pioneer.
Yeah.
He was a pioneer. And a lot of people like to say, well, you know, I just decided. The truth is, no man decides to walk to his death. God touches us. God touches you. He gives you something, you know, you're not willing to live for anything until you're willing to die for something. And every single day, I mean, he took his life in his hands. He knew that that this could be my last day. You know, and when he talked about it, he said, you know, that I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen what it looks like on the other side. I may not get there with you, he said. But he saw it. And guess what? We were walking in his vision. We're walking in that pioneering spirit of what he saw. But you know what? He didn't get to experience it here because this is a flawed version of it anyway, with men. But he saw a perfect version of it when he got to heaven.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that what you're like? Like, oh, my
That's
goodness.
Very good.
I thought I was seeing America, but I actually was seeing heaven. You know, America's still limping along trying to figure it all out. It's embarrassing when you look at our history. It's embarrassing when you look at our present, and you hear some things that come out of people's mouths and all of that, you know, that Christians. And it's like, oh, my goodness, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus is a Jew. He's not an American. And it's like
the Bible says you're thought wise if you kept silent.
Yeah, no doubt.
Good time to be silent right now.
I've been meditating on that one. You know, maybe you just need to shut this thing down. You know, just like, okay, that's it. And you pull all the things. Let's just, you know. But then the Lord says, shout it from the rooftops. Shout it from the rooftops. What I revealed to you. And then I said, okay, let's plug it all back in. I mean, who doesn't want to be silent, right?
Yeah, right.
A fool, I guess, wouldn't, but. You know, once you walked a while, you realize, I don't mind being silent.
Not at all.
We got cable. Half of America is silent because they're watching. What?
Well, I wanted to say that if anyone was listening today and you wanted to watch or listen to those segments on Martin Luther King Jr. that were done on BFN Radio, you can go to the Torch and search for the Ten Commandments of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Dr. King shows us how to honor God and the Constitution as the law of the land. So you can actually just search Dr. King and those two segments will pop up for you. Very, very good. I encourage you to do so.
Awesome. Totally awesome. It's amazing. And don't skip over this day. I heard an interview with somebody. Don't know who the man was. I was probably watching C-SPAN, you know, one of my favorite. You guys don't like that kind of stuff. But and they're hearing people what they're saying. And then you're going, no, oh my goodness, no. A man said, I was in Miami when they heard the news of President John Kennedy being shot and assassinated. I was in my classroom, and he said, in my classroom, half the classroom applauded and half were broken. I was just, you know, we don't have paradigms for what so many Americans went through. You know, what they went through is you know, he was standing up for civil rights. He was standing up, president for the people. And you know, Dr. King was working with, if he would have lived, you know, probably Dr. King would have been the one that brought all that in more so than his vice president, who kind of took John Kennedy's agenda and vision, and he brought it to pass. You know, this might be a good idea, but do what... Why they hired him to do what he was doing, you know, it's just amazing. You think, oh my goodness, really? Are you serious? And the truth is that, you know, future generations, we can forget, you know, where our brothers and sisters came from, and we have to relate. We don't need to tie ourselves. So listen, every one of us has a past. You know, we have to forget what's behind and press on towards what's ahead. But in the context of that, realize the reason why that bridge is broken right there is because somebody blew it up, you know, a decade ago. And you can't keep on saying the bridge is not blown up, you know, but you can heal and acknowledge and repent and move on. But yeah, half the class applauded and half didn't. And they were mourning. And it's basically the North. It was the North that was mourning more than the South. I mean, that's pretty much what that was their version of it. They were watching, talking about past presidents and this is the inauguration time and all. And it's like, that's why somebody says it's not about Obama, it's about my mama. He's talking about history, those that have gone previously before us. And I don't know why, you know, that it took this direction. I'm shocked at the direction our first African-American president took. And of course, when you watch Obama 2016, it kind of explains that really he's almost borrowed the experience of the African American. He's really didn't have the experience,
right?
You know, let's just say he was born in Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. And his mother was just adamantly against America, and he was lived in Indonesia and lived in Kenya. Yeah, Kenya. Mm-hmm. And just kind of had a totally different kind of viewpoint of America versus somebody who just went to work every day and went through the struggles and the bus situations, the different water fountain situations and all those different things. And generationally, where you have to, not only are you experiencing some stuff today, but you ate dinner every night with your parents who walked deeper in it, who ate dinner with their parents every night that were in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so how do you say, I love my mother and my father or my grandmother or grandfather without acknowledging their experience?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, and it's on the shoulders. I know that a good friend of mine, you know, posted in her Facebook, she says, remember, we're standing on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. And
no doubt.
And
no
so
doubt.
The confusing thing to me is the values. You know, we're always concerned about, you know, what values. And being Christians, you know, it's a Christian nation, founded on a Christian nation, is a Christian nation on Judeo-Christian values and the direction it's taken. And with that, no matter what we may think in our own mind, that if we don't turn from this, it's not going to be good. It don't matter. It don't matter. And literally, as what you're seeing today, I'm sure you're going to see the mall just filled with Americans, because you can't talk about D.C. understanding the leaders there because they reflect the people. Mm. This is what the people wanted. It's not, you can't blame, in America, you can't blame the leaders because the people in D.C. because we choose the leaders.
It's a representative government.
It's a representative government. Now, Americans may have forgotten that, but God hasn't forgotten that. We're like Josiah here. And what are we going to do about our nation? It's a government by and for the people. It's so funny how people say they complain about who's in leadership in Washington, D.C., or maybe their state. But you ask them, did you vote? And they go, no. Are you registered? They go, no, I'm not registered. Or they wait to the very last second to go, hey, who do I vote for? You know, and that's, they're asking like the milk delivery man or something. It's like, dude, what are you asking? Well, you know, he's my uncle and he watches the news or something. Like, oh, what are great. You doing? You know, it's a representative type government. It is an amazing day. There's so many amazing things about this day to me is the fact that, you know, we've made it this far in a nation, an idea, the battlefield of ideas, making Jesus God over this nation, and that knowing that our rights come from God. And we've made it this far where our current president publicly stated, you know, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement in the context of saying this. Okay, cool. Well, then you acknowledge that it was in your mind at one time, right? And so that's a good, we can go with that. We can go with that. Now the question is, have we left it or not? Have we left it or not? And in my heart, you know, God's still in my heart. And there's many believers across the land, America, who hold on to the Judeo-Christian values of this nation and what they stand for. Were we educating ourselves? You know, we've been riding on the shoulders of those who actually knew what was going on in the context of the Constitution and all that. And we are getting to a day and age that we've got to ask ourselves, and it boils down not just as the Constitution, does it fit in today's times and cultures and those type of things, but understand part of it is all of our rights come from God. And that is a very significant part of that, and that they're unalienable. You can't, nobody can take them away from you. And that's what Dr. King fought for, was the Constitution, what's written on the paper. But understand this, until the church goes back and says, is the word of God fit? Does God's Constitution fit into the church today? Or is that some old fogies from some old time past, that old time religion that doesn't have, I was flipping channels last night watching a particular minister who came on, you know, whatever program. And he's talking, he's holding his Bible, and he said, oh, great, I'm going to preach the gospel. And the first thing he starts talking about is that there's no miracles anymore, and there's no healing. And he says, let me, I was like, wait a minute, I'm watching this, I'm alive, there's miracles.
Exactly.
But I'm like,
you just show up, right?
Hello? He just caught my attention. I'm thinking, oh my, are you standing on television telling everybody that God has no power anymore? Or what are you doing? You know, what? And then he goes, but we do lay hands on people and pray for them. It's like, listen, in church, we got to really, you know, we're looking at America reflect the church. We want to say, you know, get back to the Constitution. We are, you know, going back and figuring that out and trying to hash it out and what does that mean? But more so than that, we're abiding with God and his word and trying to get God's word fully in our heart in a way that despite what any constitutions are on the face of the earth, that his constitution is what will keep us. And constitution, the word constitution means what you're made up of. It's not a piece of paper. When you talk about the constitution, it's what we're made up of is what we're talking about, the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about the word of God, that's our constitution. That's the word of God, the living word of God is what we're made up of. And so I want to encourage you that as you're looking at the nation losing its focus and writing off what it was written on, go back and start thinking about the church. I mean, the church is doing that. I mean, why would anybody say that God, why would anybody give anybody airtime that said that God has no power? And then I thought about all those poor captives, you know, that are listening to that every day, that it's so sad because there's no hope.
Yeah.
There's no hope. And then after he said that, he did say that, but we do pray for people.
Oh, thank you. Right. Pray for me.
Yeah, right. It's like,
is anything going to happen when you pray?
Yeah, right. You know, my heart goes out to him. I can see, you know, some of the scripture that he was using. And sometimes this is what happens is you put your experience above the word of God. Yeah, and that a man told me a long time ago, he said, don't ever put your experience, a man of faith, you know, the faith movement type. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't ever put your experience above God's truth. And so many people say, well, because I did this and this didn't happen, therefore God doesn't.
Right.
And the truth is, at the Gate Beautiful, Jesus passed that guy every single day and, you know, throughout his whole ministry and never prayed for that man. It wasn't until Peter came by, right, and said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have. In the name of Jesus, rise them all. The question is, then somebody would say, well, you know, Jesus don't heal cripple people. Well, that was his experience, that he didn't have that encounter. But later on, he found out that there was another way that God was going to heal him.
That's right.
We are not the epicenter of God's brain, you know, it's God's mind, put it away, not brain. And we have a tendency to get a revelation of God, and all of a sudden we're just kind of bringing people around that instead of understanding that that's where you are in God right now, and that's cool, and it lines up with Scripture. But this is so important that when you're seeing a nation leave its constitution, it's a byproduct of the church leaving its constitution. We've left or leaving its constitution, and I believe that there's going to be a outpouring. There's going to be a great awakening, which will come because of difficult season, difficult time. And when you think about the 1970s, I was listening to Dr. Charles Simpson out of Charles Simpson's Ministries and Integrity Music and all these different things that he's a part of.
So much, right?
He can't even, when you hear him talk, you're okay, I'm going to throw out everything I've ever said. And I'm going to go get, you know, linguistic degrees and practice my hermeneutics. No, anyway, it's his gift.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's hearing the same thing that we're hearing, is that God looks for opportunities to show forth his mercy. So understand, you know, because men don't want to show somebody mercy, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to show them mercy. And so don't underestimate the power of God and God's willingness to make a way where all of a sudden that when it looked like it was hopeless and it was going nowhere, that God just does it. He just does it. You know what I'm saying? And if you put God in a box, you're going to be really embarrassed because he's not in your box. I mean, he may hang around it for a little bit and it'll look like you're like, wow, that's amazing. It's like, I guess his box was right. And then all of a sudden you find out God's bigger than that box. You're thinking, oh, I guess he does heal. I remember a man told me once, and we're fixing to go to a break. I'm going to talk about the power of God today. You know, and we're also talking, of course, about the inaugurations taking place today in MLK Day. But, he said, I don't believe in healings. I don't believe in any of that. And this particular friend of his shows up at a place and he got a chill up his spine. And the power of God was moving in this place. And, and so he goes back and reports, says, listen, God confirmed to me that this is not God because I got that feeling up my spine. called the power of God. Mm-hmm. And so he just wrote off what God was doing. And the other particular man's talking to me. He says, well, I don't believe in miracles until his daughter was born without a forearm.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I get a phone call. And he's saying, what? I mean, it's amazing. Oh. You know, you don't believe in prophets till you need a word.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, you don't believe in love until you need love. You don't believe in miracles till you need them. And listen, if you just go ahead and believe now, maybe you won't be put in those situations where you have to be able to cry out like that. We'll be right back in a moment.
Wow. I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free doesn't cost you a thing and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this first hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. And we're talking about the power of God. We're watching right now. You can watch. You can go to the VFN Torch right now. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on the torch, and you can watch live the inauguration. It's sitting there for you on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com. Click on the VFN Torch, and you can watch. It's right there live. You can see it taking place as we speak. A historical moment. It's just major prophetic moment as well. Mm. But I'm thinking about the power of God. What is the one thing that Jesus said that was just really powerful? A lot of things Jesus said was really powerful. But he was talking to his disciples and different people that were following him. And the people that followed him didn't necessarily weren't part of the family, you know what I mean?
Right.
They liked what they were getting from him. But he says, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you know, at least believe the evidence of who I am. If you don't believe what the words that I'm saying, that I'm the Son of God, believe the evidence, the power that I am the Son of God. And when you think about it, you're meditating on, you know, what Jesus did. And I encourage you that 2013, let it be a year you just stay in the Gospels. Just stay. I mean, obviously you read your whole Bible or whatever, but I mean, hang around in Jesus' words, because they're trying to deny him today. They're trying to pull him out of everything. Maybe in the church, only 19% are even reading the word. Let's hug you, 19%. I'm talking to you. Let's go and read the Gospels, and let's hang on the red letter words, if you have red letters where Jesus' words are written in red, and read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to and meditate and just ask God to reveal to you. And it has to come by revelation. This can't be information where, you know, I read it and I see, and intellectually I'm going to accomplish this in my life. It's actually revelation being revealed to you. And so I want to encourage you to just begin to meditate. We call that abiding. Abide in Matthew, abide in Mark and Luke and John.
And spend time in his word and just go ahead and just read it. But right. don't, you know, someone just said, you know, don't read through the book. Allow the book to go through you. Don't read through the Bible. Let the Bible go through you. Spend time and meditate and hear what God is saying.
Right. And in abiding, you can go to iabide.org to get you an abiding plan. But I'm telling you, you'll be so amazed at how when you read some of God's word and you stop and you pray about his word, and then you ask God to reveal that word you just read to reveal it to you, what you just read, and be open to what he's revealing to you, not locked in your head, not already fixated in what you think is being said there. And because the word is living, active, and is sharper than a double-edged sword, that it penetrates even the dividing of thought and intent and the attitudes of the heart. And understand that it'll rock your world up.
It sure will.
It'll do surgery on your brain.
And your heart.
And your heart. Begin to meditate on it. And understand this, that even Jesus, this is the Son of God. He says, listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence. And you should be. You should be asking the question, where's the evidence? If this God that you're saying is God of the Bible that's with you, then where is the evidence that he's with you? What's the evidence? And it's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a place that you don't have any evidence around you, ask God, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I want the evidence of the kingdom in my life. Moses said, you know, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because the only thing that will differentiate us from everybody else in the world is your presence being with us.
Right.
And so don't be okay going on without God's presence. It's okay to stop and say, wait a minute, you know, you told us to imitate you and to as you were sent, we're being sent into the world, and you were sent with power, the power of God. And when you think about it, when Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is going throughout all of Galilee. He's teaching in these different areas, and he's teaching in synagogues, and he's preaching the good news, which is this, that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, that you are caught in sin that you cannot remedy. But if you go to God and confess this reality that you need a Savior, and you cry out to God and say, God, I need you. I want you. I am a sinner. I have fallen short. You know, would you forgive me? Would you accept me in the family of God? And he will. That's good news. And he forgives our sin as far as the east is from the west. And then he went around healing every disease and sickness amongst the people that he was ministering to, the people group. That was just beautiful. Mm. Yeah, that's Jesus's ministry. And he would say, if you go back and we'll talk about it in a little bit probably, is that if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence that proves what I'm saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you're meditating on that and you're going, wow, that's just awesome, God. And that's so cool. And then John chapter 17, 18, Jesus says, as he's talking to the Father and he's praying, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So just like Father God sent Jesus into the world to do what I just talked about and all the things that he did, That's why. That's how we got sent. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're sent to do that. So we're not sent. We're America. We're, you know, listen, this is our purpose. This is our destiny. This is what we're sent to do as believers. We were sent by Jesus Christ, like Father God sent Jesus himself, to go into the world and do the very same things that Jesus did. As a matter of fact, he says it in Mark 16:15-20. He talks about it. I mean, that he's just about to be taken away. And he's finished up what he came to do on earth, Jesus has. He's about to be start his feet going to come off the ground. He's going to get higher and higher and higher. And his body's going up and he gets in the clouds, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys are like, what you doing looking up here? He already told you what to do, right? The same That's Jesus right. you see now going up is going to come back in the same way. And so this is what Jesus said. His last words were the very same thing we're talking about. He said, as he says in Mark 16:15-20, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So the same way he was preaching in this community is what we're supposed to be doing. Listen, if you're a believer, you're a preacher. Preach. You know, tell people. You know, just tell them. Open your mouth and let the words come out of your mouth. And then he says this. He says this right after. He says, and all these signs will accompany those who believe. Oh, this is pretty cool. Wait a minute. So just like all this power was with Jesus, and Father sent him. Now Jesus has sent us like Jesus was sent by the Father. And we're to preach the same gospel that Jesus preached. But the same power that was with Jesus is supposed to be with us. Because he says, listen, when you go preach the gospel, and that's the key. So many people are preaching everything but the gospel, you know. But preach the gospel, that's the power. He says, all these signs will follow you, follow those who believe. So this is very important, what I'm talking about. And I'm meditating on myself, is begin to just pray, say, God, reveal the kind of faith, the belief that I need in my life to know that this is the only way. This is the only way to advance your kingdom. This is the only way to separate all the mere talkers from the true walkers, ones who walk with the Lord. And he says, in my name, this is not somebody says, yeah, I prayed a prayer. Now we're talking about believers. Our believers here, right? Mm-hmm. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. So that's what Jesus did, right?
Right.
And Jesus walk in a room and all of a sudden they go, you know, Son of God, what do you have to do with me? Oh my goodness, you come here before my time. It's like, shh, be quiet. They don't know this yet. I've been trying to tell them, but they don't know yet. I had to tell them about the evidence, but you already know. You're a demon and you believe, right? Demons believe and tremble. And he told them to hush up and he threw them out and all that kind of stuff and cast them out. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. A lot of things are being diagnosed, especially like these, I mean, everywhere. And you see people, they're trying to fix it some way other than spiritually. And the person is just bound. You're wrestling with spiritual wickedness. You're not wrestling with, you know, generational ailments. You're wrestling with generational curses, you know, quite often. Not everybody that sits got a demon. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you just look at the Sandy Hill Elementary School shooter, and you just look at the picture. And if you know anything about demon possession, that means he's demon possessed.
Yeah, Sandy Hook.
I mean, Sandy Hook. Yeah, Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, or you look at the shooter in Aurora, Colorado. Right. You just, I mean, it's like, do we have any discernment at all? Are we really going to blame the video game, or are we going to blame the church of us not going out and preaching the gospel and driving out demons?
That's right.
You know, because they're obviously inhabiting people. And he says, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poisons, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I mean, you think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why it's good news. That's why the people like to see the church coming, I guess, if we're moving in power. I mean, it's good news for you to show up if I'm sick, because you're going to pray for me, and I'm going to be healed. Understand that. Just from experience alone, everybody that Jesus raised from the dead died, you know, and how they died, probably various ways. But the whole thing, it was the demonstration of power that proved that what he said he was, who he said he was who he said he was. He was that person. Mm. And so it's not about, hey, you know, that, you know, because you got sick, then you're not walking with God. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. Paul was talking about, I hope that my physical ailment does not get in the way. I hope it don't get in the way of the gospel that I'm preaching. The power of God was moving in Paul's life and ministry, and people were getting healed and delivered and those type of things. But at the same time, I mean, he had physical struggles as he's talking about those different things, thorn in his flesh. And he's talking about he had to have somebody else write it for him. And I think about Smith Wigglesworth when here he is preaching healing. He's preaching the gospel. These guys were so good. They preached the gospel forever, how long it took. And then they would pray for healing. And he would have to, he'd pause. He'd step his message, step out and go back to the hotel room. He would pass a kidney stone.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be, okay, well, this is canceled meeting. He would come back to the meeting, finish preaching, lay hands on sick, and they'd be recovered. And somebody says, well, how could that be? Well, the whole thing, it's not, obviously, this body that we're in is not going to live forever.
Hmm.
You don't know how long you have. You don't know how you, but the power of God, when you see the demonstration of the power of God, that's why you can see people who get healed, but they immediately begin to doubt their healing. And they begin to, you know, God healed them, and they think, sometimes they think, I'm saved because I got healed. Or sometimes they think I'm right because I got healed, but it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And God was drawing them to himself. He heals them. He demonstrates his power. But then they don't even talk about him. They just walk away from him and say, I can't tell anybody about this Jesus. And he goes, if you're ashamed of me before men, the next thing you know, it just comes back on them.
Mm.
But you just don't know how, I mean, life ends on this earth and it begins in eternity, whether with God or not with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power of God, it's the power of God demonstrated that he said is evidence that I am who I said I am. And he says in my name, and the power is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that when he sent his disciples out, when you talks about sending his disciples out, he sends them out and they went out preaching everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, confirming exactly the gospel that they were preaching right there. Think about it. He tells them, even in Luke 10:3-8, he says, go, I'm sending you out. So he told the ones, and he says, and when you enter a town and are welcomed, which means you can't force a miracle on someone. I guess Paul did force an act of power on Eli. Be blind. You know, be blind. And he's like, okay, I need some help. I got a cane. And but in regards to if you're not welcomed, it takes faith, people's desire to believe that God's going to move. It's your faith in you, inside of you, right, which is a whole nother aspect of it. But when you enter a town and are welcome, heal the sick who are there. Heal them. And tell them the kingdom of God is near. So you're simultaneously the power and the message, the power and the message, the power and the message, the power and the message. And John 14:11, he says, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves.
Mm.
And let me tell you what's going to happen in this powerful outpouring that's going to take place. It's going to be a power outpouring, the power of God just moving powerfully. I know that hopefully we're going to get a chance to either talk in the first hour or the second hour of some things the Lord has shown John and myself about the outpourings and the glory. Show me the glory and all the different things. But God's going to pour his power out in a powerful way. And when the power of God gets poured out, understand this, that the mere talkers are terrified because it separated them instantly. The second the power of God moves, because the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, but about the power of God. And it totally, they have to come and attack it because it's like, well, if that's true and I don't have any evidence, then they come after that. And I'm going to talk about that. God literally showed me what has always taken place, but what will be taking place simultaneously while the power of God is moving. But listen, this is a normal conversation that is supposed to happen with us in the kingdom of God. And he said, listen, this is even Jesus saying this. He said, listen, if you don't believe what I'm telling you about the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, he said, at least believe the evidence. You know what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're going to have to believe this because that's where God's going to manifest himself. And it's Christ in you. You're not praying him down. You're believing him out.
There you go.
You're believing him out. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone, listen to this, anyone, and we're going to break this up. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church, where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on
a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and Patton John is joining me. We are talking about the power of God, the power of God. When you think about it, I was just talking about what Jesus had said and how his ministry is and how we're supposed to go. He says, listen, he said, you know, he's talking to him in John 14:11. He said, listen, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. Understand this. Part of understanding about the kingdom of God is being revealed to you, but also that Christ is in you. Power of God is in you. Mm-hmm. And the hope of glory for the world is for the church to realize that you are glory containers, that you are the kingdom of God's containers. And then he says this. And then he says, listen, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. So when you look at Jesus's ministry, and so many people go, whoa, you know, yeah, and he is whoa, and he is, yeah, but understand, he set the example for us to walk in his shoes, to imitate him, and to please the Father, because his life gave glory to the Father. Understand that our life is supposed to give glory to Jesus, to bring glory to the Father. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it works when we obey the words of in Jesus's name. And he says, not only that, can we do what he did, but he says we can even do greater things than he did. Even greater things. Mm. You know, Lord, forgive our mindsets. Forgive our limitations. Forgive us for putting you in our boxes.
Yeah.
There is hope in the power of God. He says, and this is the reason why we can do that. He says, because I'm going to the Father. And think about it. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, looking at us and going, hello, at least believe the evidence. You know, if you're going to believe that I'm in you and the Father's in me and we're one. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. And he says, and I will do, when I'm sitting by the Father, he's saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. Listen, this is not about, and I've seen people who say, you know, I want a healing ministry. And what they really want is to be worshiped. You know,
right.
They're looking versus that you want people to know God. You want them to know God. You know, we've prayed for people. We've seen people heal. But we want to see more people heal. We want to see just an explosion in cities and towns and mass outpouring, a third grade awakening where everybody understands the revelations that we're talking about now. And in this, he says, listen, he says, you may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. What is that? When he says you may, that's permission. Mm-hmm. Mm. Not only have you been commissioned, but you've been given permission by the Son of God himself. You may. Mother, may I. Father, may I. Jesus, may I. He says, you may.
Yes, you may.
You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. He's just looking for, this brings glory to God when we do this. He tells us in John 15:8, he says, and 16, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Understand that when we ask God for, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, to heal somebody, this brings glory to God through Jesus Christ and makes his kingdom known and shows that person and whoever else observed that we're disciples of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. That's what separates us. And he goes on in 16, he says, listen, you didn't even choose me. You didn't even choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go. So not only do you have a commission, not only do you have permission, but you have a commandment. where he's saying, listen, hello, quit thinking too much. You know, you didn't know nothing. You were stuck in your sin, and then I saved you. Remember that? You were laying in your pool of blood. I walked by, and I looked at you, and I said, live! And all of a sudden, he just forgave our sins, and he cleansed us, and he brought us into himself. And now he's saying, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you. And what does that mean? When you think about it, that means that God had something in mind. Mm. He had something in mind. He appointed you to go and bear fruit, showing yourselves to be his disciples, bear fruit and lasting fruit. So the power of God is what is made manifest when we believe the gospel in which we preach, that we're followers of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, that the name of Jesus is so powerful that people on the last days are going to be thinking that they were saved, and they're going to be talking to Jesus. And Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 7, they're going to say to me, Jesus said, they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not use your name and these things happen? Mm. Yeah, right? He's going to say, right? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm now.
Yeah.
Correct me. That. You know, I'm, you know, challenge it if it's not in the Bible. And he's going to say, but I never knew you. That's how powerful, how much power is in the kingdom. That some person who doesn't even know them, that's very religious, even the sons of Sceva, it worked for a while. And understand that it can work. So it's the power of God is just something that just naturally comes with those who are Jesus' disciples. They follow us. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. We're not supposed to jump in our cars and planes and trains and try to find a sign. We're supposed to be a sign. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to preach the gospel. Go, and the thing is, going somewhere, quit talking to Nazareth. Listen, how many times are you going to talk to people that ain't going to listen to you? You know, Jesus preached, and then he moved on.
Yeah.
And some people, it's like, if you talk to me one more time about your Nazareth, it's like, come on.
How many more ways do I have to tell you no?
How
right
clearly?
Now? You know what I'm saying?
And they go, oh, but I love him. Oh, but listen, Jesus was nailed to a cross for Nazareth. So can't say that we love somebody more than somebody else. Everybody say move on. Move on. At least shut up. Okay. You know, move on. There's other people God loves, you know, and God even loves those folks more than you do. And remember that because he first loved you, that you can love them. But if you move on, no telling what's going to happen. What you're going to find out is that your Nazareth may catch up with you. Of course, the Nazareth, those people that just say, I knew you and you was, it's like, and they go, aren't you a carpenter's son? And don't you know, they got all these horizontal grids and how they define you, but they don't know you met Jesus.
Right.
That's right.
They don't know that you're not the same one anymore. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. They're looking at you on the outside, but don't realize that Jesus is on your inside. You know what I'm saying? And you preach to them, but they're so familiar with who you are, who you were, that God will probably send somebody else to them, or at a distance, they'll watch your life to the point where they're going like, you know what? That cannot be Pat. In. There's no way that could be Pat. This has got to be God, right?
That's all right.
There's got to be God. And so I'm talking about the power of God. I mean, this is what we're supposed to do. And in Colossians 1:25-27, he says, to them God has chosen to make known. Let me go back. Verse 25 is, he says, I have become the church's servant. The body of Christ's servant. You know, we love the church. We love the church. We're just so excited. Anybody, any believer anywhere begins to abide with God. I mean, it's an exciting thing when we see you guys requesting those abiding plans and begin to, no matter where you're at, because we know you and God, woo, powerful. And he says, you know, I've become a servant of the church by the commission of God that God gave me to present to you the word of God in the fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And understand this. This has been a secret that nobody knew about until Jesus. And I'm about to tell you what that is, and we're talking about it right here. Here it is. He says, to them, and this is the secret that was revealed through Jesus, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, you're wanting to see the glory manifested in your life. You're wanting to see people healed and delivered. You know, first, make sure you're a believer. Become a believer. Right. Become his disciple. Get discipled. Learn to abide with him and talk. Understand that it's not about signs, wonders, and miracles, but it's about your relationship with God. And out of overflow of your relationship with him, other people are going to be touched. You'll be exhausted trying to to do something out of an empty jar. It's not going to work.
Right.
And if it does work, it'll work for them and not you because they had faith in them. My faith in you does not prove. My faith in God, my faith in me that is in God does not mean you have faith in God. That's why you can have somebody stand on a stage and begin to speak things out and you know, and build people's faith. And they release the kingdom from inside of them. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can get believers together anywhere. I don't care what we're in, that the power of God begins to move. You can build their faith and encourage them and worship and words of affirmation and things that God says over us. And so all of a sudden they just get excited and that's right. And they go, oh yeah. And then next thing you know, God's power is just released in that stadium or in that building or in that coffee shop because the glory of God is inside of us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so we have to get in tune with the reality is we're Christ carriers. We're carrying Christ with us. That's why he says, go to where I'm sending you, where I'm about to go. And I want you to heal the sick, signs, wonders, cast out demons and all. And he says, and then tell them the kingdom of God is near. The reason why the kingdom of God is near is because the kingdom of God is in you. You're a kingdom container. Mm-hmm. You're a powerhouse. You are a powerful force. Christ in you is a powerful force to be reckoned with. But understand, and we're going to be talking about in the extra hour, that it is about embracing weakness and humility. And it just, we're going to keep on talking about this. I hope it's going to be encouraging. We're talking about the power of God today. We got so much more. I got so much more I want to be able to share with you. We're also going to share with you some dreams and some things that God has shown us, you know, what is about to come. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.